Today, shock announcement collapses confidence and trust in Australia's financial system. Hello again, it's Martin North here from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And today I'm joined by economist John Adams. Hello, John. Good to see you again.
Hello, sir.
Now, we're going to talk about an announcement that's come out today. We're talking on Monday.
Yes.
Relating to Mr. Wayne Byres.
Yes, yes. The Treasurer. So I'm on the Treasurer's mailing list. And about 9 o'clock this morning, I check my email and I get an email in from the Treasurer saying that he has reappointed Mr. Byres to be the head of APRA, to continue as being the head of APRA for another 5 years. And as soon as I saw that, my jaw dropped, my heart sank, and my confidence and trust in the financial system and the economy sunk to even a more deeper low than where it was before.
Okay, so we're already pretty low, but now it dropped even further.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. Because what we have been doing through this series of conversations is to illustrate systemic problems in the economy, among the regulators, among governments. And obviously we've had Commissioner Hain point to a whole host of issues with banking misconduct, criminal behaviour, and the finger has been pointed both at ASIC and APRA. There is a clear trail of evidence to suggest that he just has not done the job that he would be expected to do on $1 million a year, which is what the head of APRA, I found that out recently, the head of APRA, the head of RBA, $1 million each. He's paid $1 million, he's done a crap job. And a lot of people around the world reckon that he is not of the Australian people. He is the man of the BIS. So his loyalties are to the Bank of International Settlements. He's a captured regulator that basically dances to the tune of Australia's banks as well. And therefore, a whole host of issues have played out so far over the last 5 years with bank customers, etc. And obviously, when it comes to the prudential standards around the banks, when we talked about the stress test, when we've talked about the question of bail-in, this man has been at the center of it. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of ambiguity on all these sort of questions. And he has not given me confidence that the government is on top of these issues, and yet somehow the Treasurer has given him another 5 years. And the justification for giving him another 5 years just, again, beggars belief. I mean, I don't understand what's happening at the highest levels of our government.
Yes, and of course, Frydenberg actually made a comment today in part of his statement, which was referring back to financial stability and what a great job he'd done.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm going to read a statement from Mr. Treasurer Frydenberg's press release. Mr. Byres' reappointment as chair for 5 years is important for stability during this time of significant reform in Australia's financial system.
So in that statement, like you just read out, right, financial stability is the key theme, right?
Yes.
But what you think financial stability is and what Wayne Byres thinks financial stability is not the same, right? It's clear to me that APRA has a very narrow view of what that financial stability mandate relates to, because every time anything about particular conduct relating to customers, right, or anything like that, he always does a flick pass over to ASIC. Right. So far as Wayne Byres is concerned, financial stability is about basically having the large banks that are well capitalized, right? And that's about it. So it's a very narrow view of stability, right?
Sure. But even on that point, you know, when we've done the previous episode about the stress test, it is clear to, in my assessment, that Byres has underestimated the level of systemic risk in the banks, the level of systemic risk in the macro economy, and therefore his policy decisions, his regulatory decisions are going to be inadequate to protect the banks, the economy, and customers, as in people who've got a loan, but also in terms of people who have put their money in the banks. So you know, because he has shown to be woefully inadequate to do the job that he's being paid to do, you know, if the Treasurer wants me to have confidence that the situation will be stable, put someone else in who gives, who can actually, you know, demonstrate to the public that there is a level of transparency, there's a level of honesty on some of the issues we've been talking about, and that they acknowledge that the situation, what has played out previously and what is likely to come forward, isn't as rosy as what Mr. Byers has been projecting.
Yeah, so I think you're right that the rose-tinted spectacles that he wears is very narrowly focused, right? But even on that basis, you'd have to say that the stress testing results that we parsed highlights the fact that actually they don't instill great levels of confidence, right? And in fact, even the capital ratios that we currently have in the banks in Australia are not that flash. And the recent Basel status report on the implementation of the next Basel implementation basically gave Australia some red marks on the number of disclosure-related matters.
Yes.
So even on those narrow definitions of financial stability, the ones that effectively, you know, the BIS would recognise, I think it's a fail.
It is a fail. Yeah. But what has he done with APRA? He has stacked the senior executive with bank and insurance company insiders. So if you want an honest regulator that's going to keep the industry honest and accountable and transparent, well, a whole bunch of people who have a vested interest to keep their mates comfortable, he has brought those people to fill up the senior ranks of APRA. So the culture, we talk about the culture of the banks. Well, what is the culture of APRA? The culture of APRA is basically one of being complicit as opposed to one that is trying to enforce compliance.
Yep. No, I agree. And, you know, taking that point a bit further, essentially what they have done is received as gospel what the banks have told them. So the information sets that are received, they do very little independent audit and analysis, right? It's very much a sort of a reflective surface against the banks, and they capture information and they report it.
Right? Yep.
So there is very little critique. There is very little independent thinking within APRA, right? Even on this narrow basis, right? So on all of those dimensions, I agree with you absolutely. You know, it doesn't work. But then if you think more broadly about what we think and what I think the public would think financial stability would mean, it would mean things like consumers getting the right financial services at the right price, being delivered in the right way, right? All those sorts of broader things which the Royal Commission touched on. But APRA would say nothing to do with us, right? And in fact, they have said several times that they have deliberately traded off financial stability against customer outcomes and competition.
Yes.
So there's something deeply wrong at the heart of that cultural set.
Yes.
Right, inside APRA, and it is partly because a lot of people have come from the closed thinking of banking,
yeah,
they know anything else. But I also think it's the regulatory structure. And if you think of APRA and ASIC and the RBA and the Council of Financial Regulators, all of that stuff is also part of the problem. Right. So to my mind, if in fact Frydenberg is saying APRA's done a great job, implicitly what he's saying is that the whole financial system and structure, regulatory structure, is fine.
Precisely.
So you'd sort of assume then that he'd give a big tick to RBA, a big tick to ASIC as well.
Indeed. So. But basically what we need for stability and for confidence now is some independent people to go into the system and to be honest and saying, well, here are the good parts of the system, here's the deficient parts of the system, and we're going to actually work with government, we're going to work with the Royal Commission to bring about the best set of conditions going forward. Yep. But there's already been certain types of pushback against the Royal Commission coming from Treasury, the RBA, APRA, you know, Kavya Emptor. Basically, it's the customers ultimately who have to bear the risk. They've got to make their own decisions. You know, there is nothing for the rest of the system, like in the banks, who have any responsibility in terms of what has transpired. But also on this issue of credit growth, well, I mean, obviously they're all saying don't be too aggressive in your recommendations on the banks, because you're going to slow the growth of the bubble, and that's going to have broader economic impacts, and we don't want that. So given all this sort of stuff, I mean, I just couldn't help myself this morning. I went on social media and I put out a provocative tweet, and I basically said the following: the reappointment of Wayne Byers as the head of APRA is a complete sellout to the public interest, given what has been revealed at the Banking Royal Commission. Who is really in charge of Australia? Our sovereign government or the international financial cabal? So I think this is a very important question, because with his track record, with what's come out of the Royal Commission, with what we've seen with on the question of bail-in and the murkiness of that, which we covered in yesterday's program, when we've looked at the bank stress test and how fraudulent and how incomplete that stress test is, someone has gone to the Treasurer, the Prime Minister, and said, keep this man in that role. Now, one can only conclude that that broad set of stakeholders that may be in the Treasurer's ear would be our banks, but also some international players, and saying, he's our man, keep him there, even though he's done a crap job. And you know, there's a lot of viewers who watch this, who I get correspondence from, particularly on social media, who want a government that they can say they're fighting for us. And what we have seen repeatedly from this Turnbull, Morrison, but even going back to Abbott, is that there is a subservience to international forces, international institutions, and that subservience hasn't resulted in good public policy outcomes for us. And it's not going to, you know, in my view, it's going to end up in disaster going forward. So we see these repeated reappointments of people who we can clearly say poor track record, haven't done the job, not across the brief, is not likely to be the right type of person going into choppy economic times. So, Martin, why is this person still there?
That's a great question. Maybe when he stands or sits in front of the Royal Commission in a few weeks' time, because he's going to be actually, APRA is going to be questioned. So I assume it'd be Wayne Byers who'll be questioned. Maybe the Royal Commissioner should ask that very question, right? Of course he won't. But I mean, I do think it's interesting that the announcement was made before the final round of the Royal Commission. The Commissioner was very careful, though, not to make specific comments now about what should be done. He set us set a question. So what is the right regulatory framework, right? Are there capabilities, or are there aspects of APRA's or ASIC's responsibilities should be moved? You know, should there be some sort of mechanism to oversee their effectiveness in terms of governance? Those are sorts of questions he did asking, right? So far, he hasn't actually disclosed any of his thinking as to what the answers to those questions may be.
So the fact that the bias has been reappointed, what signal is the government sending to the to Commissioner Hayne? As in, you may put forward some recommendations, but bias is our man, so he's immovable, he's untouchable. So you know, you will have to make your recommendations that play to what we have now just done.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be fair to say that endorsement, so powerfully made by Frydenberg today, right, basically will mean that effectively Byers has the tick of approval from the government.
Indeed, indeed.
And whereas previously there could have been some ambiguity about it, that ambiguity is no longer there.
Yes, yes. Now, I mean, I sent out a set of a series of tweets and text messages to a whole host of people in my network, and I won't say who, but a high-profile individual who would have his finger closer to the pulse on some of these matters, came back to me and said that Byers has international credibility because before being the head of APRA, he did some time at the BIS. Mm. But for me, the fact that he's been at the BIS says to me he's captured. He's ultimately dancing to the tune of international institutions, and I can't say categorically that in times of crises he will be actually acting in the national interest, in the Australian public interest, and in the interest of Australians. And I think for a whole host of Australians who want to know that government has their back, I mean, this is, you know, politically, this is just a disastrous move. And, you know, you look at how the PMs, you know, I've had a series of conversations with some politicians and people in the media over the last couple of weeks about how Al Morrison's going as Prime Minister. I mean, he is gone for all money. I mean, we can, you know, sign off on the election saying, you know, you look at the betting markets, he has done a terrible job as Prime Minister. But these sort of signals to the ordinary Aussie about whether Morrison is you know, with us, or is he actually with some sort of other set of stakeholders. Again, very bad signal, and it doesn't give me any confidence and trust that in a time of a crisis, Byers is going to look after me. And because I don't have confidence and trust in Byers, well, that has direct, I mean, I'm just talking about myself, that has direct implications for the amount of money I may or may not have in the banks, because I don't think he's going to be acting for me and my family. Therefore, why would I trust the system? Because he's the he's one of the integral people who are trying to keep the system intact.
And I guess you could take that further and say, we'll take the bail-in as an example, right?
Yeah.
Where effectively he's the guy who sat in front of the Senate and basically said, depositors are protected. Full stop.
Yes.
Not deposits, depositors, right?
Yes.
And it seems to me that the guy in charge there is absolutely, you know, behind the scenes, in the middle of the question of bail-in, in the middle of part of the global move to move deposits into the field of target in the case of a failure.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. So I think the reappointment has a few implications that we've sort of touched on. So why don't we just sort of clarify? Yep. So let's talk about the bail-in question. So we've done, last night, part four was just published between us.
Yep.
So we've done four parts. We've shown that bail-in is legal. Now, we've said in the very first part that the legal power to bail in is the head of APRA. So Byers, he has the gun, he has the trigger. But we said that, in my view, it's inconceivable for Byers to pull the trigger without consent from the PM. But it's not impossible legally for Byers to go, well, I've got to do it. I'm going to do it independent of the Prime Minister, of Cabinet, and I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Maybe because he says, well, I've got a 5-year term. I can't be sort of sacked unless for extraordinary circumstances. But if I've implemented, used my existing legal powers, surely I can't be sacked for following the law. Now that he's here, and today APRA hasn't been clear on this question, I suspect we're not going to get any clarity on bail-in, and that's just going to, you know, cause more uncertainty about what is the real intent of APRA, which is some of the banks have asked you. They don't know what the real intent of APRA is. Well, given that he's the BIS's man, I think we know what the intent is going to be. So there's obviously some implications there on the stress test. So just to go back, when we talked about the stress test, they put out an economic scenario. They tested in 2017. They said the losses to the banks would be $40 billion. Lindsay David of LF Economics said, no, it's close to $290 billion. Over 3 years. You said over 5 years is about $310 billion, so a quarter of a trillion out. And then what I showed was that the scenario that they used to test was completely deficient, has no relevance to economic history in this country when you had a depression. They assumed a fall of 4% of GDP over 3 years, whereas we've had two depressions in 1892, 1931, and the fall in GDP was 10% in 12 months. So no justification on the calculation, no justification for the economic scenario. It's clear to me either he's clueless or he's hiding something about what the banks can really take, if a systemic crisis were to happen. And again, either he's completely unprepared or he may be prepared, but the depositors and the customers who think the system's okay are completely in the dark about how bad this can get. So the fact that he's not going means we're going to have continual fakery around these stress tests, and we're not going to actually have a genuine conversation about what happens in a real systemic crisis with the banks, with deposits, and with customers. So, you know, no answers in that. And then obviously with the Royal Commission, well, it's interesting to see what the Commissioner's interpretation of this reappointment is. Does the Royal Commissioner think that he's now placed in a box, that he can only put certain things forward, but he can't actually touch this guy because the government has reappointed him? Or he may think, well, to hell with the Treasurer, I'm just going to put the recommendations forward. And then if he does that, it's actually going to cause a very sensitive situation for the government, because if through the findings and the recommendations it's clear that APRA needs a new culture and a new sense of direction, that implicitly is saying to the commission, is implicitly saying to the government, you've reappointed this guy, we don't actually have I don't have confidence that he's the right guy for it. So in that if he comes out with those findings, there will be a loggerhead, but under those circumstances, the Treasurer can't go back now and just say, well, okay, Commissioner said he's got to go. Well, I can't, he's just not going to sack him. So even if Commissioner Haines says, we need a new direction at APRA, we need a new culture, government's not going to do anything in response to that.
Mm. So indeed, you're right. So some things have been effectively locked in place.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just, you know, continuing that thought, one is that the Baal rules, the capital rules, which are the ones that have come down from on high effectively into Australia, right, actually implicitly protect the big guys compared with the small guys, right? Actually make mortgage lending much more capital effective for the banks compared with other types of lending.
Yep.
Right? And effectively rewards some types of bad behaviour inside the banking system, right, firstly. And secondly, the APRA Act has very express rules about not disclosing individual information about individual banks more broadly.
Yep.
So the level of disclosure that we have in Australia compared with, for example, the US stress tests, which were actually named bank results, or even New Zealand, where they have this scorecard where all the bank's results are actually up there and available, right? In Australia, the level of disclosure is astonishingly low.
Yep.
Right? And that is traced back to APRA too. So you know, irrespective of the Royal Commission, we've got lots of evidence of things not working the way they should, not to the benefit of the broader community.
Exactly.
And then you've got limitations potentially on what the Royal Commission may or not be able to say in the light of that decision that's been taken. So this is an astonishing decision. It's one which I think really signals more concern for the future. And as you said at the start, you know, levels of confidence dropping through the floor.
Yes, yes. So to sum up this conversation, what we are likely to see is more of the same. We're going to see a continuation of the growth of global debt, as well as in terms of the domestic debt bubble. There is a lot of chatter on Twitter with a whole host of people talking about auction clearance rates and property prices falling. But we go back to the fundamental economic problem, which is debt in this economy is still growing. That one of the key guys that has been instrumental in allowing this debt bubble to get out of control is still in place. We can only conclude that problem is going to get worse. And he is either ill-prepared for that moment of crisis when it comes from overseas, or if he's prepared, certain people will be protected, but not others. And the public interest will be distorted.
Yep. John, thank you very much.
Appreciate
your time today. So there you have it. More concerning news from the government and from APRA regarding our financial system. I think there's more that needs to be done here. If you're alarmed by this post, do share it. Do communicate to others the things that we've been discussing here, because it's really important. And do add your comments and questions. And do check back next time. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching.